Welcome to the In the Limelight podcast. I'm your host, Clarissa Burt, and every week I bring you great information from fabulous people that I get to meet all over the world. I interview public figures, influencers, entrepreneurs, thought leaders, millionaires, and moguls that share their know-how, tipping points, pivotal moments, and life lessons. I promise you educative, empowering, and entertaining conversations with entrepreneurs that have a social conscience. Don't forget to find me on social. You can find me pretty much everywhere. Facebook, it's Clarissa Burt Official. Also, sign up for my newsletter at clarissaburt.com. That way you can keep abreast of the In the Limelight media as it's coming out. And you'll be getting my weekly newsletter along with the In the Limelight magazine every quarter. Check out inthelimelightmedia.com. Well, hello, everybody. It's Clarissa. We are back in the limelight yet again this week with another extraordinary entrepreneur. Well, we're going to talk about that. You'll see. It's really, really kind of one of those situations where I shouldn't, but I'm going to because I'll give you this little hint only because I'm trying to go sugar free. And that's a really hard thing for me to do. But in this case, I just might go back on a little bit of sugar, and I'll explain that when we get our guests up and on. So, okay, everybody, you know that you can find these videos over on YouTube. We've got our podcast going out on Apple, Google, Inspired News Radio, Stitcher, Spotify, and Pandora. So there's no reason or excuse not to be listening to all of our extraordinary entrepreneurs, our very, very savvy solopreneurs as well. You can listen to all these interviews, and you get a lot of really great information. Don't forget to head over to clarissaburt.com, where In the Limelight Media lives, to take a look at the summer edition of the latest edition of the In the Limelight magazine. You saw Iris Apfel on the cover. And by the way, this lady right here, just a global fashion icon, and 98 years old, everybody, and going strong, not only, but she didn't even become famous until she was 80. So the message behind my cover for the summer was, it is never too late. Well, that having been said, I'm going to bring him on. He is the man, the myth, and the legend. He is also known as the cannoli guy. There is Steve Delgado, everybody. He's the cannoli guy. I lived in Italy for 30 years, Steve. I know from cannolis, okay?
So you do.
I just want to say that your company, and you're out there in Cincinnati. You're going to tell us a little bit more about that out in Ohio, in Cincinnati, right?
Actually, it's Covington, Kentucky, which is a mile south of Cincinnati.
But I want you to tell us all about that. And just one day, Delgado obviously is an Italian name. You decide, you know what? I think I'm going to open up a shop and have some cannolis. But then you have something like, I don't know if I lost count at like 280 different flavors or something.
Not quite. I have 80 flavors right now.
Oh, okay, 80. Well, I'm sure you keep working it, because the last one we talked about pre-show was, what was it, wasabi? Tell me what.
I do a wasabi cannoli. I do a sake cannoli and green tea matcha cannoli. I do some crazy flavors because it's all about tasting a new tradition, which is my motto. I'm always pushing the envelope.
Oh, that is just unbelievable to me. I mean, yeah, you have the regular vanilla and chocolate chip, right, and mint chocolate. You get all that stuff, right? But
right,
you get ideas for that. Let me call them concoctions, if you don't mind. These like little concoctions, it sounds more like little witches' brews going on behind the scenes over there with all of these different wild flavors that you're coming up with. We talked about lavender. We talked about, I know you worked with some essential oils, and we talked about matcha cannolis. Why is there a really big demand for that sort of thing? Are people coming to you and saying, "Hey, Steve, do me a favor, make me some matcha cannolis"?
Yes, that's what's happening. People want to see what else I can do, and I've done savory cannoli as well. I want to see how far I can push it. So I've done a crab ragoon cannoli. I've done a lox cannoli with capers, a black porcini mushroom cannoli with garlic and scallions. Yes, I mean, we can do what we want to do in these cannoli, and let's see what people like and what they don't like.
Right. So do you have a bakery background? Is that what drew you to opening up?
No, really. Like when I was like 17 years old, I was a chef's apprentice like 4 years. But I always had it in my blood, because when I was 9 years old, I remember being in the kitchen with my nanny and my pop and my parents. I was in the kitchen cooking, and I loved it. And so it was always in my blood. And I love being in the kitchen. I love it. Right. I love to cook. But then, so doing the cannoli and creating the cannoli, but also presenting it to look like you're eating a piece of art. And that's the key, the presentation. Because anyone can slap cannoli cream in a shell and call it a cannoli, but I wanted to create
a piece of art.
Piece of art and be able to like, okay, that is beautiful. Yeah. And it tastes great.
All right, so I'm going to send up your look. Okay, well, we're getting what I did is I took a screenshot of your website. So there you go. It's a new tradition. It tastes a new tradition, which is really, right. I love that. That's a great byline. You're not seeing too much here, you guys. If you go over to his website, you're going to see a whole bunch more. Let's put that underneath here so we know where to find you, Steve. That's delbartos.com. And you go over there and you can order, you know, directly from there. How are you faring during COVID? What's happening there? Are you doing deliveries? I know you're doing a lot of shipping.
Yeah, so the business is down, but people still like dessert. People still going out getting food, takeout, but they want dessert. So I'm still getting people to come in on Friday and Saturday nights, come in and they get cannoli to go. Or I'm also doing boozy cannoli cream shakes. So I'm taking all my flavors that I do and make them boozy in a shake.
Boozy. I love that. We got boozy cannolis, everybody.
I got boozy cannolis. Right. So you get your cannoli, get your drink to go, a shake, and people have a good night. And I love it.
Delgardo's.
gotta do whatever I gotta do to really make people feel good. And
how fun is that?
When people come in here, you know, they feel great. I treat them like family when they come in. I talk to them. It's nice.
Right. So when you, let's go through the entrepreneurial journey a second, because, you know, we're talking entrepreneurs here. So you love it. You're in the kitchen. You're with Nonna and mom and dad. You're doing all the fun cooking in the kitchen. And it's just such a beautiful moment anyway, to be in the kitchen with family and that creation, you know, time that you have together is just something special. I think you're creating memories every dish you make. Right. And so you decide, okay, I'm going to take it out of the kitchen. Or did you start in your kitchen? How did that, walk us through that in a minute.
So I started my kitchen about 2 years ago. I was going to do an Italian espresso bar here in Covington, but there were so many coffee bars. So I went back home. I opened up my great-grandfather's cookbook, and I landed on the cannoli page. And I'm thinking, like, okay, I see the sign. So I got in the kitchen right away and start making cannoli. And I'm thinking, like, what if I do different flavors of cannoli? So for a year and a half, I test marketed my cannoli. I had to like perfect my craft. I had to test the shell.
Were you selling at this point, Steve?
I was selling it to friends and family, and I was donating my cannoli to a lot of cancer foundations. I was perfecting my craft. I had to figure out how to pipe the cannoli, what works, what doesn't work with the shells, and the shells is a big part since I can't make my own shells. Sure. The shells come from Brooklyn, New York, from a bakery there through my distributor. I use an Italian distributor, and he gets all my Italian supplies.
So I
nail down the shell, and then I start making the cream. And the cream is very important, as you know. And I had to use one of the top ricottas out there, and I use Polio for my chocolate chip cannoli. And I start making that, and love doing it. People started like, wow, this is great. What else can you do? I'm like, well, I can do this. I can do that. And I was experimenting. And I still experiment every week. I come up with something.
Wow. Okay. So you're moving it. Okay. So you say, so you start getting really positive feedback from friends and family. And at that point you say, you know, I think I've got a business here. I think that this is moving into what's next.
What's next is now to find a place to actually sell the cannoli. And I wanted not a big place, a small. I didn't want to be a bakery. I didn't want to get up at 3 o'clock in the morning and make a ton of cannoli. But I wanted a place where people can come and sit and get, you know, espresso and cappuccino, which, by the way, it's Lavazza, just like in Italy.
Yeah, of course.
You know, and also get a liquor license for wine.
Right.
So I wanted to become a dessert bar. So people can come and sit down and have a nice cannoli, a cappuccino, and be able to talk with their friends and family.
Right.
And so I found the space and I took my life savings and I risked it all. I risked it all. I'm like, you know what? My father told me, go after your dream, son. You beat cancer. Now's the time to do it.
Yeah, I know.
But I was like, you got to risk it. So I risked it. I put all my money I had, and I created a beautiful environment. You know what? And I love it every single day.
Yeah. You know, it's, as you were talking, it was like sort of savor the cannoli. It's like a savor the cannoli area, space that you created, as opposed to where I've seen a lot of times, you know, you'll eat a cannoli really quickly at the bar in Italy with your coffee and off you go kind of thing, you know.
Right.
This is really cool. Let's talk about really quickly, because I know you don't mind talking about it, that you did have a bout with cancer, something back in 2012 happened. And I'd like you to walk us through that a minute. And then I know that you have worked with different organizations and there's a foundation. Why don't you tell us about that?
Sure. About 2012, I discovered a lump while I was taking a shower. And I knew shouldn't be in that spot near my heart. So I went to see the doctor, and I got a mammogram for the first time, which is pretty interesting for a guy to get a mammogram.
Sure. Right.
I went through all that, what women go through. And
then
a biopsy came back and said that it was, the tumor was benign and should disappear in 6 months.
Okay.
So I waited, and like the doctor said, well, 6 months went by. I went back to see the doctor, and we had to do an emergency surgery and found out it was stage 2, was very aggressive. And he said, Steve, I'm like, if you would have waited another month to see me, I would have told you to get your life in order. And that scared me more than having the cancer.
Yeah.
So I said to myself, I was like 44 years old. And I said, I can't die. I have a 8-year-old son at the time.
Right.
So I decided, you know, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to do this. So I did. I beat it. I created a foundation called Protect the Pecs, went around the country and spoke about breast cancer in men and the effects and the symptoms. I did it for 5 years. And that's when my dad came to me. Okay. He said, Steve, you did what you had to do to help, you know, the community, the cancer support community. You helped a lot of guys. You educated the public. Go after your dream now. Do something for you. And that's when the cannoli came to be.
That's when that came to be. Well, listen, congratulations on fighting the good fight and winning, because that is just extraordinary. How prevalent is it in guys, Steve?
It's the numbers was 1 in 1,000 men that would get it. Now the numbers are 1 in 833.
Wow.
So the numbers are not getting better. They're getting worse.
Right.
And it's hereditary. So if your mom and your aunt has it,
right,
the gene is passed from the women to the men. Not necessarily the men's going to get it, but they can actually pass that gene to their children. So you need to get tested, the BRCA testing, and that will help you determine where you're at in the cycle.
Right. So all, you know, for the gentlemen out there to be as vigilant as women are with checking and making sure, not only, but you're an anomaly because there was no breast cancer in your family on either side.
No, there wasn't. There's no history of cancer in my family at all, except, you know, the typical prostate cancer type of thing. But we got heart disease, you know, but no cancer.
No cancer. All right, back to happier things.
Cannolis.
Back to our happy cannolis. And thanks for that. I appreciate that. Can you once again, can you say the name of the foundation, Steve, just in case somebody
can't? It's called Protect the Pecs. PECS, yes.
Okay.
I have a Facebook page and an Instagram page.
Fantastic. Okay, awesome. And with that having been said, we get back to you now starting up the business. And I'm assuming you didn't start with 80 different flavors. They sort of came to you, you know, right? People suggested, you created them yourselves. And now, you know, from one, I believe you have one shop, correct?
One shop right now.
What are you going to look like? What's Delgado's cannolis going to look like in 5 years?
5 years. What I want to do is do a nationwide shipping. So everyone from California to New York can get my cannoli.
Right.
And then eventually I want to license the cannoli, maybe in hotels or maybe franchise it. So people can get my cannoli on the East Coast or the West Coast. And that's what I want to do. Let's see how far I can take it. That's me. I'm always looking to tackle the next mountain. I'm like, all right, let's do it.
Yeah.
Where else can I do?
Right. So are you staying niched in cannoli? Do you think that's the way to go? Or will you branch out with the pastries?
I don't want to do pastries. I just want to stick with the cannoli. Cannoli is the niche that I have, and see what we can do with it.
Right. So how about, do you do diet cannolis?
Everyone that comes in here always asks, do you do sugar-free cannoli? I'm like,
do you do sugar free, Steve? Do you do sugar free?
This is like diabetic shock cannoli. But I am looking into vegan cannoli cream. I think I've done it before and I can do it. The trouble is I can't do vegan cannoli shells. Those are very hard to come by.
Like
people like gluten-free shells, they're very hard to come by. They're very pricey.
Yeah, but, and they're fragile. Aren't they more fragile?
Yeah, they're fragile. They're very hard to make.
Right, right, right. And they wouldn't ship well. That wouldn't ship well.
No. So I'll do the vegan cannoli cream, and I'll be able to ship that.
You can do vegan. You can do sugar-free.
Yes. I can do sugar-free. Yeah, I can do the sugar-free.
How about dairy-free now because it's ricotta?
No, it's ricotta, dairy.
Yeah, it's cool. It's all good.
I get those questions. I do. I get them. Like, and my, you know, I got that New York attitude. And I look at them like, what are you, crazy?
Yeah.
Like, this is cannoli. It's cannoli. Yeah.
Well, they always need to keep your ear to the ground and listen to the customer because the customer will tell you what they want. Right. And if you can do it, good. If you can't, you know, hey, it doesn't mean they're always right. It just means, you know, kind of.
Yeah, but I do take their challenge. I'm like, you know what? I can try it. And then I'll test it and see how it goes.
Right. All right. Let's get back to the Clarissa cannoli because I thought that was really cool.
All right.
We're going to name a cannoli after Clarissa. Okay. Do you have names for cannolis? Or is it just like they have names? Or?
Yes. I have like a dreamsicle cannoli. I have a key lime margarita cannoli.
Oh,
I do a sweet Caroline cannoli. So that's a Nutella infused cannoli shell. With banana and rum chata cannoli cream with a hint of nutmeg on the end of it.
What was the now that sounds pretty crazy. It sounds great. It sounds pretty out there for a cannoli. Yeah. What was the most out there cannoli you ever made that somebody asked you to make? Like you're going, really, dude, you want me to do, you know, you went, all right, I'll do it.
It was a Japanese restaurant that said wanted me to do a sake cannoli. So I did a plum sake cannoli with a hint of cayenne pepper on the ends of it. And people loved it. I couldn't believe it, but they loved it.
What did it taste like? Did you like it?
It was different. I don't like spicy. I mean, but
yeah.
I liked it. Hey, it is what it is.
All right. So now that we've gone ethnic, what about like a Mexican cannoli? What would you put in there?
I did a churro cannoli. I've done that with the cinnamon sugar on the ends of the cannoli.
Right.
I've done it just recently. Okay. Last week I did a chocolate rain cannoli.
Right.
The chocolate rain cannoli is actually, it's a chocolate cream with chocolate tequila in it.
Right.
And a chocolate liqueur. The shells are dipped in Belgian chocolate and cinnamon sugar with the Luxardo cherry on top.
Oh, I don't know whoever's listening here. I'm really sorry to put you through this agony. I'm totally – for all of my listeners, I just want to say I'm totally sorry that you're not in front of these cannolis while we're talking about them. Because I know your mouth is watering and you're going to rush. I don't know where to, you know, to satisfy your sweet tooth in the moment. But I don't know what this is like nuts for me. This is like, taking an alcoholic to the bar, you know, for me. I mean, I'm a sugaraholic and always have been. So, you know,
I do limoncello cannoli people love. And I just created a lemon ricotta cheesecake cannoli with lemon zest on the ends.
Wow.
And I'm so it's pretty good.
Yeah. And I guess the sky's the limit when it comes to creation and invention over there at Delgado's.
Right.
That is so much fun.
I'm doing it.
Right. Tell me where you want to be in 5 years. How about let's go where you want to be in 10 years and then your crowning moment. And it can't be marriage and children.
No. 10 years. Actually, I want to probably sell Delgado's, live in Key West with a couple of friends and have my own cannoli bar down there or something like that. I want to enjoy the rest of my life. I don't know. I might do this till I'm 80 years old. I don't know.
Right. Sounds like a plan, though.
I just love doing this. See, I work maybe 60 to 100 hours a week, but I love coming in, putting on Frank Sinatra, Dean Martin. I'm making my cannoli. People are coming in enjoying it, they're having a great night with their significant other.
Right.
That's success to me. Not the dollars in the bank account. Seeing someone come in here with their family and having a great night. That's what this is all about.
Yeah, it's so exciting. Yeah. And what a cool way to do it too, Steve. I mean, congratulations. It's an awesome idea. I really do wish you all the best. We didn't get to your crowning moment. The one crowning moment in life for you up until now has been?
This is the cannoli business. Seeing people coming in and saying, you know, Steve, this is the best cannoli I've had in the last 30 years of my life. I've been all over the world. I'm like, this cannoli is fantastic.
This cannoli
is what I like to hear.
This cannoli is fantastic, and I can't thank you enough for being on the show. I really appreciate your time being here with us. I want we're going to talk about that Clarissa cannoli, by the way. I don't know what it's going to be great for that moment, but I'd love to have a cannoli named just after me. That'd be great. Steve, thanks for being with us. All right, you be well now. Bye now.
Bye.
Stay there. Don't go anywhere. Stay there. Okay. Bye now.
Are you looking for a place with positive information? Well, look no more. This is the place, InspiredNewsRadio.com. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, positive talk radio. Shows designed to inspire, inform, educate, and motivate. Hi, I'm Scott Sullivan, and I'm one of the hosts right here on InspiredNewsRadio.com. And I ask you to please tune in every single week to my show, Mind Your Own Business. InspiredNewsRadio.com, the place to be for positive talk.
Hey everybody, it's Clarissa, and if you know me, you know I love to travel. I'm always on a plane, a train, or a car, and I love discovering new places, new hotels, new resorts, you know, just new adventures. That's why I'm so thrilled to offer to you a membership to the Clarissa Travel Club. Yep, it's at no expense to you, but it's travel at a massive discount. Here's the deal. It's savings up to 70%. No travel restrictions, no blackout dates. Almost any hotel in the world. There are over a million hotels, everybody, that you can go and search on clarissatravelclub.com. It's free to join. Works for friends and family, so have everybody else sign up too. It's a user-friendly site, I have to say, and here's the clincher. It's 110% price guarantee if you find a cheaper price. Let me say that again. 110% price guarantee if you find a cheaper price within 24 hours of departure date. So sign up now and receive instant access to incredible savings and terrific offers. It's just that easy. I lived in Italy for 30 years and I love Italian food, but Italian food didn't really love me because a lot of it had gluten in it. I didn't understand why I was getting so sick all the time and why I was having reactions and rashes and just generally not feeling well after eating. I myself am a celiac and I found out the hard way. An internationally renowned chef, Rita Romano, and I have created an Italian gluten-free gastronomy cookbook that is made just for you. If you have celiac disease, gluten intolerance, or even if you don't, you are gonna love this book. Satisfy your passion for Italian food without gluten. The book has 70 delicious, authentic, and modern recipes, each with beautiful illustrations and many photographs taken in Italy. Cook up a meal that family and friends can enjoy. There's bruschetta and pasta, soups, risotto, focaccia, and scrumptious desserts. Italian gluten-free gastronomy also includes a variety of vegetarian and vegan recipes. An 8.5 by 10 inch hardcover with a beautiful dust jacket. You can get that at clarissabert.shop and click under Feel Good. And for the digital version, you can find it on Amazon.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the In the Limelight podcast, intelligent media for the savvy entrepreneur. You can listen to this and all of my podcasts on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, Pandora, and Inspired News Radio. You'll find all of my videos and the In the Limelight digital magazine on clarissabert.com. And don't forget to connect with me on social pretty much anywhere. Stay well until we meet again in the limelight.